Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. Back to The Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest is coming to Helium Comedy Club. A week from today, May 13th and 14th, he will be at Helium. Danelle Rawlings, comedian, actor. How are you doing?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. We got you.
I don't know who set me up for this evil radio station I'm on right now, but to listen to you guys say nothing makes you feel better than to make your mother, your father cry. This is an evil station, bro. I almost hung up.
You got to know it was a good cry. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my mom and my dad, they set me up. They did everything for me. I know you've got a 7-year-old son, Austin. Our researchers tell us that. Like, you do anything for that kid, and someday that kid, Danelle, is going to reach back out to you and tell you how much he loves you, and it's going to bring tears to your eyes.
He does it all the time, but I don't want to get away from your evilness to think that you want to make your son cry. And I know why, because y'all making so much money. Here's what you know, a radio station is making a lot of money. When they say, we're going to put you on hold and go to these commercials, and you're on hold for 10 minutes, yeah. You're making a lot of money.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, when you were a kid, who were your influences? Because I know there's somebody in your family who was encouraging you, and you were making people laugh probably from an early age.
I would say that had to be my mother, and it came to one point where she said, don't tell me another joke or make me laugh unless you're going to make some money doing it. That was later in my life, but my mother was definitely an inspiration. I'm sure that's where my comedy side came from.
There had to be a point of your life or your career where you said, I've made it. Where was that time where you looked up and you were like, you know what, I did it?
I don't even feel that way now. I think that I've positioned myself to have a pretty good life. But when you're a person that really, really always thinks there's another level, you never really feel like you made it. And I guess when once you get to the point where you think you made it, that's when things start to crumble. I still think every year I can get better. It's something else I can add to my resume. It's a lot of other things. But I know it sounds crazy, but I don't connect with making it. I connect with I've been able to create a good life for myself, and I've been given some platforms for people to see what I do, and that's just to make people laugh. But I don't connect with made it.
We're talking to Danelle Rawlings, comedian. He'll be at Helium Comedy Club a week from today, May 13th and May 14th. Grab those tickets now. You were on Chappelle's show. You've been on Winning Time, the Rise of the Laker Dynasty. I want to talk about that for sure. The Wire, that might be my favorite show ever. To be part of The Wire has to feel pretty good to you.
I mean, it feels good. It's an iconic show. Newsweek Weekly did an article a while back. They listed the top 100 shows in the history of television. HBO's The Wire was listed on that, and Chappelle's show. So, wow. If nothing represents my legacy of what I've done, it's the fact that me being a part of two shows that anytime you mention a documentary, anytime you mention like anything gritty or anything comedy, those shows will always come up.
The Pixar movie Soul, you're in that as well as the role of Dez in Soul. Your kid had to be thrilled about seeing you in a movie that connects with kids. But, man, I thought that was really well done.
It was, I mean, you and the Academy thought it was well done. It won for Best Animated Feature that year.
Yeah.
But I've done some stuff. My resume is pretty nice. But my son don't care about The Wire. He don't care about Winning Time. But when he realized that his dad was a voice on a Disney movie, oh, my God, I was the biggest thing in those courtyard streets.
The feedback on Winning Time has been interesting. The players and Jerry West, they're mad. Everybody's entertained. A lot of people watching it. You know, as you were making it, what was it like to be part of that?
It was great. I was like, again, I don't do a lot of acting in film, but for some reason I do. It's some stuff that, you know, I've been a part of projects that people love and people respect. I can understand why Jerry, Buston, anybody that's affiliated with the Lakers, not being excited about the project, it makes sense. They're not making any money off of it. You know what I'm saying? If they're not making money of it and someone else is telling their story, I can see where that could give some people discomfort. But I think it's a well-written show. I think the acting is incredible. I think it introduces people to the Lakers dynasty that people don't know about, like how he acquired the team, how much fun they were, the parties and everything. I don't think anybody could associate the Lakers to that. So I think that's what they're doing a good job with.
May 13th, 14th, week from today, Donnell Rawlings, comedian, will be at Helium Comedy Club. There are, I think, the forum, I guess, or the medium of comedy or stand-up comedy for a long time has given comedians and a place to talk about things that people don't talk about. You got cancel culture out there now, though, and I have seen it affect, like, some of the comedy acts or maybe some of the things that are talking about, and I hate that. Because I do think there has to be a time and a place for us to be able to laugh and talk about things that make people a little bit uncomfortable or maybe laugh about it. Where do you stand on all that and what's happened maybe in the last 5 or 6 years?
I don't believe in cancel. Cancel culture only hits certain people. People that are concerned about, like, and I understand some people, you got to feed your family. And I'm attached to this brand. I can't say this. But my grind kind of has been like one fan at a time, years of going to these comedy clubs. So I can't be canceled in that sense because the money I make, I don't make a lot of money off of film. I don't make a lot of money off of TV. My money has been hard-earned grind going to these comedy clubs. So whether I do another television show or a film, that I've created a fan base for people to come and see me, and I'll be able to feed myself, to feed my family off that. But in some cases, people, like, you know, they bow down to people. And I'm not trying to act like I'm a super rebel or anything, but coming at comedy and trying to make comics talk about what you want to talk about, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And for those people that are about cancel culture, don't go to a comedy club. Go to church. Get your God. Get in touch with your God. But let comedy stand for what it is. Comedy is a situation where if somebody you connect with, you pay money to hear what their point of view is, the way they look at the world. You don't pay to see a comic for them to think just like you. If that's the case, then you go tell a joke, and I'll be an audience member.
When you're up on stage and you're just killing it, it has to feel great. Like, time just must fly, and it's effortless, like watching an athlete in their prime. But can you tell before you get up there if you're going to have it or not, or does it take being up there?
I mean, you, like Jay-Z said, you want to put yourself in that where you want to be before you go on stage. You, like, mentally, like, I did MGM. I've done a lot of arenas where I've had to come out of the tunnel, and I felt like a boxer. I felt like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But like Mike Tyson say, everybody got the answer until they get punched in the face. You know what I mean? So you want to put yourself there, but you really don't know. It could go, and I don't take it for granted. Sometimes, you know, like, it's easy to say, I'm going to go up there and rip. But you don't know. For some reason, that may not be the night that people connect with you, but you still got to perform and give it your best effort. But normally when I go up there, if in my mind I say I'm about to, if I say I'm about to go rip this audience, then it's about to be ripped, because I never say that. People always say, go up there, have fun. You're going to be funny. And I always tell people, you never know what's going to happen. But there's been times where I said to myself, you about to go beat him up, and that's what happened.
You were stationed in South Korea in the United States Air Force. You grew up in Alexandria, Virginia. You're born in D.C. What did the Air Force experience do for you?
I mean, it gave me opportunities to see some things that I probably wouldn't have seen if I would have stayed in the D.C. area. It gave me opportunity to meet some friends. It gave me opportunity to get some culture in my life. First time I ever flew on a flight. It definitely let me know what teamwork is, camaraderie is, and it was like, it kind of like, you know, set the stage for me to do what I do now.
Were you funny in the Air Force? Can you be funny in the Air Force?
I've been funny. I was funny out the womb, bro. What are you talking about? I didn't cry when I came out. I came out roasting. I came out laughing. Everybody else came out. I was like, oh, look at this dude over here. Yeah, I've been funny my life. And it's so interesting because anybody that grew up with me, nobody is surprised on me choosing this as a profession. Nobody. They was like, oh, it makes sense.
Born to do it. Donnell Rawlings is our guest. He'll be at Helium Comedy Club a week from today. It'll be a Friday-Saturday show at Helium in downtown Portland. Want people to check it out at heliumcomedy.com to get tickets. Do not wait. There will not be tickets left. This guy will sell out. Let me ask you who your influences were growing up.
Stand-up?
Stand-up.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, everybody, especially me and older, everybody would say Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor was one of the guys that I felt like was, like, the GOAT. I love the animation of Martin Lawrence. I love George Carlin, how he was, like, he was, like, screw cancel culture before cancel culture was even invented. I love R.I.P. Louis Anderson, a guy to be that massive of a figure that don't even move, that can stand in one spot for an hour and destroy an audience that's a wordsmith. I love people like Marshall Warfield. I found something in a lot of comics that I took that I could admire, but it's not one single person that I look up to like that, but I did have little things, different people that I took, and I used it to help me become a better comic.
I'm on your website, DonnellRawlings.com, if you want to check this out, listeners. You got hats, you got candles, you have coffee. I'm interested in the coffee. What got you into the coffee business?
The pandemic, when I wasn't making no money doing jokes. I had to make a pivot, bro. Yo, me and my lady was watching TV one day, and she was like, why you look so gloom? I said, Donald Trump just said there will be no live performances. 90% of live performances will be canceled in 2020. I said, 90% of the money I make is live performances. I said, we broke, bitch! And I had to make some type of adjustment. People are like, well, you got money. I don't care how much money anybody has. Nobody wants to see money go out without any coming in. So during that time, during the pandemic, this coffee company came up to me. They were like, hey, how about coming up with a coffee? They sent me some beans. I fell in love with them. I put the coffee line out. I had the lotion out there. I had the candles. I was selling smudge sticks. I was selling everything. Because one thing the pandemic made me realize that I can't just rely on comedy as my number one source of income. It made me become more of an entrepreneur and the whole nine. So that came out of being forced. Most comics, they are so happy. If you can look at your calendar and you say you book for the whole year, you don't care about nothing else. You don't have to worry about anything. But there's never been a situation that I've experienced where your sole form of income is completely zero. It inspired me to go harder with my podcast and other things. Like, we got to make pivots sometimes.
I love that. It's great advice for everybody. All right, before I cut you loose, again, he'll be at Helium Comedy Club a week from tonight. He'll be a Friday-Saturday show at heliumcomedy.com if you want to get tickets. I go to comedy shows. I'll see the other comedians in the back of the room. Donnell, what is happening in the back of the room? Why do you guys stand in the back and watch each other?
I don't watch comedy. Those people, like, you got two people watching. Some people watch because it's people that they really appreciate and love, and some people watch because they're going to steal some jokes. But, you know, I'm not, like, I'm a fan of comedy, but I never stand in the back and watch a comic. But I would say that contributes to, you know, you got a lot of, especially young comics, they get people that they see and they love and they admire, and they want to check them out, and they want to take class. Usually when you see a comedian like that, they just want to take class. They want to be in the back to see how this audience reacts to this comic and see, in some cases, how they could be a better comic.
You can buy a candle, you can laugh a little, buy some coffee, DonnellRawlings.com, or check him out at Helium a week from tonight. Donnell, wish you the best. You have a good weekend, and we'll catch you in Portland next week.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
There he is. You know what? I relate to what he's saying there at the end. You know, I have been to comedy clubs, and the comedians are hanging out in the back of the room, and they're watching each other, studying, maybe giving notes to each other, maybe stealing jokes. Who knows? But I don't listen to a lot of sports radio. I don't read a lot of other writers unless, like, it's breaking news or stuff I have to read, or if there's a select few writers that I really like to read. And part of the reason why I don't do those things is I don't want that other stuff in my head. I don't want other radio shows in the format and the shtick that they use. I don't want normal radio stuff in my head. I'll pay attention to breaking news. I've got the station on, but if I'm listening, I more often than not, I'm listening to play-by-play or games or whatnot. And when I go to read, yeah, I'll read certain writers like Sally Jenkins of the Washington Post or Bill Plachke of the LA Times. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to read a lot of other people who are writing things that are in the genre that I'm writing in, because I don't want those voices in my head. I think that has benefited me largely. And, you know, I have I need to be me, and this show needs to be different than anything else you hear. And so I appreciate what Danelle is saying there. And, you know, full disclosure, audience, we made him sit on the commercial break. And we made him sit for a reason. He called in late. He was supposed to be on at 3:30, and he was bitching about us leaving him on hold, Judah. He was on hold because he called in late, and I told Judah, we're going to make him sit because, you know what, the show must go on. And on that note, John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News, NFL guru, is coming up here. He's already on hold, and he's waiting. I love that about Wilner. Bruce Barnum in the 5 o'clock hour. Leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.